Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel this weekend, we hear of the healing of Bartimaeus, in which he recovers his eyesight. And yet, this story isn't necessarily a story of healing, as it is a story of conversion. Listen now how it begins. Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples, with a sizable crowd. Well, we have to understand some background with regards to the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho is referred to by many as Sin City. For centuries, it's been synonymous with promoting hatred, greed, violence, adultery. Everything that is against God is what Jericho stands for. So it is a notorious city. Also, remember, historically, it was the first city in which the Israelites destroyed upon entering the Promised Land. Remember the great story? The Israelites encircle the city, and upon doing so, they blow the trumpets, and immediately the walls come tumbling down. Furthermore, it's important for us to understand geographically where Jericho is. It's right near the Dead Sea, and therefore it is one of the lowest places in all of Israel, including the world, when it comes to altitude. So therefore, Jesus is now leaving the lowest place in all of Israel and moving out, journeying out of Jericho in order to start his journey to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a city that is built on top of a mountain. And now the symbolism here is very clear for us all. The very beginning of this story now sets the tone for the gospel. That is, in our conversion to Jesus Christ, in our faith lives with Christ, it is Christ who always leads us out of the lowest places in our life, including sin itself, which is the lowest place in our life. And yet it is Jesus Christ who leads us out of the lowest place in our life, sin itself, to where? Up to Him in relationship with Him. The story continues. Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. Well, how appropriate. Here, Bartimaeus is sitting near the walls of Jericho, and he's blind. The symbolism here, Bartimaeus' own sinfulness has caused his spiritual blindness. To live in the city of sin means that eventually we will become spiritually blinded to the presence of God in our life. We won't be able to see Christ, nor be able to see the pathway that leads to Christ. And yet, what is Bartimaeus doing? It says he sat by the roadside begging. That's good. That's very good. He's begging, which means he's asking for help in his blindness. When we are in sin, we too are spiritually blinded to the presence of God in our life, and therefore we feel trapped. In some cases, it's like an addiction. We can't will our way out of sin. And therefore, we recognize that God and only God can release us from our sin. And so Bartimaeus, blinded by sin, now recognizes he needs help. The story continues. Upon hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Bartimaeus began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity upon me." Now this is very important for Bartimaeus as well as for us. Bartimaeus, his sin has spiritually blinded him. He cannot see the presence of Christ in his life, and yet he still is able to hear Christ and recognize his voice, and therefore cries out to him for help. When we are in sin, and when we are spiritually blind, we can still hear the voice of Christ calling out after us, helping us, to pull us out of the lowest place in our life, to lead us out of sin so as to be with God. Remember the story of the Good Shepherd? Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I call my sheep. They hear my voice and they recognize my voice and they come to me." Well, that's exactly what's happening now with Bartimaeus. Notice further what Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, son of David, have pity upon me." Well, that's exactly what we say at the very beginning of Mass. We, like Bartimaeus, beg God for mercy in our life. At the very beginning of Mass, the priest says, "Let us call to mind our sins," and then we begin the Confiteor, or "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Well, we are also begging God for Him to have mercy upon us as sinners. And therefore, every time we begin Mass, we echo those words of Bartimaeus, "Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy upon us." Next, it says, "Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you.'" Now, picture it. There's people around Bartimaeus, bystanders. Jesus turns and says, "Bring that man to me." Well, these people now go to Bartimaeus and they start encouraging him, motivating him to get up and to go to Jesus. Well, that's something that we all have to practice ourselves. We too, as part of a faith community, must support, encourage, motivate, even challenge at times one another so that we can bring people to Christ and so that their faith can grow. Great example of this is RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for adults, as well as Confirmation for our juniors in high school. These two programs are ways in which we, as a faith community, recognize our duties and responsibilities to support, encourage, and motivate these people as they prepare to receive the sacraments. Just a few weeks ago, our juniors in high school stood before us at Mass with their sponsors, and we gave them a very special blessing. That sent a clear and distinctive message to those juniors in high school that we as a faith community now recognize our responsibilities in supporting and encouraging them in their faith as they prepare for the sacrament of confirmation. In a few weeks, our RCI candidates will stand before us at Mass, and we will give them a special blessing. Again, that sends a clear and distinctive message to those people that we as a faith community will support, encourage, and motivate them so as to properly prepare them to enter into our Catholic Church. I can't tell you how many people I know who have come back to the Catholic Church because they've been encouraged and motivated either by family or friends. Well, we must continue to do the same. Next in the story, it says, Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Now, why does Mark include that specific detail? Why didn't he just say, "Well, he sprang up and he went to Jesus"? Why does he include that detail that he threw aside his cloak? Well, what we have to understand, in the ancient world, wardrobe, clothing was a representative of the person's identity. It made up who they were. A great example of this is the story of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis was born into a very, very wealthy and affluent family. From early age, he was always dressed in very fine clothing and jewelry. Well, at the moment of his conversion, he approached his father, stood before his father, and began to take off all of his fine clothing, including his jewelry. He placed them at his feet and then put on an old, tattered robe, and then left his family forever in order to begin ministering to the poor. Well, Bartimaeus is now called by Christ to begin a new life. And one of the central ingredients to conversion is change. We must change our lives. And therefore, by Bartimaeus throwing aside his cloak, it symbolizes the fact that he is now throwing aside his old life. He's throwing aside all of his old values and old lifestyles in order to now accept this new life with Christ. If we truly convert ourselves to Christ, we must leave our old ways of life behind and go and follow Christ. And so Bartimaeus now approaches Jesus, and Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now think of that for a second. Put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus. Picture Christ now asking you that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" There's that wonderful story of St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas spent a very, very long time working on a theological treatise of the Eucharist. When he finished, he literally took his manuscripts and placed them before the tabernacle, as if to seek approval from God. Well, God spoke to Thomas Aquinas, and he said, "Well done, Thomas. What do you want for a reward?" Thomas's response was, "Nothing but you, my Lord." Would we be able to echo those words ourselves if God asked us that question? The story continues. Bartimaeus replied to Jesus, "Master, I want to see again." Now that's important, that word again, which means there was a time before in which Bartimaeus saw Christ in his life. He saw the path that led to God, and he walked that path. And yet, because of his sinfulness, now he's spiritually blinded to Christ, as well as to the truth of the world. And now he desperately wants to see Christ again. He desperately wants to see and walk that path that leads to God. Jesus responds by saying, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Your faith has saved you. Faith, in its most generic definition, is a belief in something that is beyond reason. I'll say that again. Faith, in its most basic definition, is a belief in something that is beyond reason. It is beyond reason to think that the Son of God would strip himself of all of his glory and be born into this world like each and every one of us, an infant, tiny, helpless, vulnerable. It's beyond reason to think that the Son of God would climb upon the cross and die an excruciating death in order to save the world. And yet he did all those things, and we believe them because we have faith. And it is that same faith that brought Bartimaeus to Jesus, because he not only knew that Jesus could cure him of his blindness, but more importantly, it was Jesus Christ who now would be able to convert him into a new life with him. Finally, the story ends, in which it says, immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Well, now Bartimaeus, through faith and Jesus Christ, is now able to see the presence of Christ in his life. He sees that pathway. He sees pure truth in this world, and now he grabs onto it and begins to follow after Christ. How did this story begin? It began with a blind beggar in Jericho. And yet, how did it end? As all stories of conversion end, with a person walking with Jesus Christ on the journey of life. My friends, this story is a great motivational story for each and every one of us in the spiritual life. Conversion should not just be something that happens once in our lifetime. It should happen each and every day of our life. Every day of our life, we must recommit ourselves to Jesus Christ. And this story helps us and motivates us to do just that. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.